thank you. We worship you. Thank you, Father. You are bigger than what people think. You are bigger than what people say, Lord. And we want to see you as that big God, as that great God, in the name of Jesus. Talk to our heart, Lord. If you don't talk to us, what would we do? If you don't direct our steps, how would we move? We need you, Lord. Every minute, every hour, every day, we need you. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your love. We need your presence. Thank you tonight. As we welcome you here, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. How many of you know that God is bigger than what people think? Bigger than what people say. He's bigger than what people say. He's far bigger than you can imagine. Hallelujah. And we need to begin to see God the way He is, the way we have to flow. Amen. So I want to ask to turn our Bibles to Joshua. When we come here for stirrings, I need you to stir up your spirit. I need you to stir up the gift of God in you. Every Christian should have the gift of God, at least one gift of God in you operating. Gift of prophecy, gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. You have to have the gift of faith, of miracles. You have to believe in all these. Hallelujah. And believe God to operate it. And especially at stirrings. You are free and liberated to express yourself in the giftings and the callings, especially the gifts of God. Hallelujah. Amen. When we meet, Bible says if you have a song, you have a psalm, you have a hymn, you have a word, you should speak it in order others will judge and whatever. So one of the things we are launching from today for our stirrings is the liberty of the spirit. The liberty of the spirit. Where God should open your eyes, and God always opens our eyes. Do you get it? Where God should open your eyes to see things and flow in it. Where you should be able, in a time of nice atmosphere like this, to say, thus saith the Spirit of God. God has not changed in this thing. We have changed. But God is still the same. Do you get it? Where you have to believe God. So that God can speak through you to the people of God, and somebody will be blessed. Do you get it? So this is something that we are believing God to stir up at stirrings, where we will be free and flow in the spirit of God. If you make mistakes, you'll be corrected. And then you will not. I remember somebody was going to give a prophecy, and he made a mistake, and the pastor collected the microphone from him, gave it to me. And then the prophecy was cut short. But one thing I like about that, he didn't stop. You get just as Peter, when God said, I get thee behind me, Satan, he wasn't angry. It's okay to make one mistake when you are prophesying. Do you get it? I remember the first time I was prophesying, the whole people were there, and I just, instead of saying Joshua, I said Joshua. You know, because our pastor was slanging, so me too, I wanted to slang. So the Joshua, and I could feel that people were laughing during the prophecy, but who cares? As far as God is speaking, you have to speak. God wasn't the one who said Joshua, but the message was from God. Hallelujah. So I need you to open up your spirit. I need you to open up your eyes. And that is why God opened somebody's eyes. He could see things, you know, during meetings. Your eyes should be open to see Jesus, to see angels. During praise and worship, you should open up your spirit enough to be able to sense God speak to you and say, thus said the Spirit of God. You get it? And prophesy. Prophesy to the congregation. It is what should happen when people of God meet. But because of time, because of trying to do things in orderly manner, after this, praise and worship, after this, offering, after this, this, after this, sometimes these things, you know, and it has gone on for long that now, even when the Spirit of God is speaking through you, you are not able to speak. And then the church has become large. If you speak, you don't know whether your voice will be heard or not. So it's like you swallow it. But here is, you cannot give any excuses for large space, voice, whatever. You should be able, because I sense in my spirit there are a lot of you who have gifts operating in you that you should be free to operate in them. Hallelujah. You should be free to speak. Order means that when you speak out of order, you'll be put in order. But then you come and ask, so next time, how should I do it? Do you get it? And then you flow and you'll be happy. Otherwise, you won't start. Do you get it? Say amen.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 10. I'm going to talk about unusual supernatural supplies and interventions. And that God is still doing unusual provisions for people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And unusual things. He has not changed. And for us to understand this, I will read a few scriptures of unusual things that God still does. That we should believe God. Because I think that's why this song came to mind. You are bigger than what people think. You see, I think God is far, far bigger than the way we see things, the way we think, the way we do things. We have tried to box God in the way we think and the way we do our things. Hallelujah. So it's good that once in a while we go and remind ourselves of some of these things that God did and God still does. Amen. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 1 following. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. So Israel was doing exploits, defeating people left, right, center. They heard that Israel had utterly destroyed and taken Ai. And so one of the kings, when he heard it, he was the king of Jerusalem. When he heard it, because Jerusalem was not originally, at this stage, the Jews were not the ones who were there. So the king of that place, Adonizedek, heard of the things that Joshua was doing, including taking down the walls of the city of Jericho and taking Ai. So he was so confused. And then he heard that a very powerful group of people, the Gibeonites, had also gone to make peace with Israel and were even among the Israelites. So he realized that these guys must be very powerful. So he was afraid. He was afraid. God said that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai. And all the men thereof were mighty. So if Gibeon was greater than Ai, and Ai has been taken, and Gibeon has gone to make peace with Israel, then it means that, we are finished. We are finished. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon. Charlie, these kings are wild kings. Sure. Even the names alone. Saying, come unto me and help me, that we might smite Gibeon, for it had made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it.
And the men of Gibeon said unto Joshua, to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slap not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So now when they realize that they have made peace with Israel, then they've gathered against them. And they have now sent to Joshua their friend now. You see, allied forces, yes. Their friend now to come and help them. Because as a result of joining themselves to us, to them, they have been fought against. And some of you are just as a result of being a Christian, you have been fought against by forces. Just because you have joined yourself to God's people. And then, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. The enemies you see today, none of them will be found before you. In the name of Jesus. They said, there shall not be a man to stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from Israel and were going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down, you see, it's beginning, unusual interventions. As they are doing their part, humanly possible, you see, as they were not lazy, they were doing all that they could do humanly. You get it? Then unusual interventions were also happening. And the Bible says that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. That means that as they were going, they were fleeing from the Israelites. Stones. God took stones. Or I was just saying God, angels took stones. And they were throwing it. Angelic catapults. You get it? They were throwing it on the people and they were dying. Meanwhile, Joshua and his people were coming and fighting. They were doing what they could do. And then stones were falling. So you get there and the people are there. You don't know what killed them. You know, you don't know whether maybe some stray bullet or something was happening, but God was raining stones. May God rain stones on the people who pursue you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says that they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with their sword. Why not? You see, more people died from that intervention of God than what you were humanly doing according to your strength. Hallelujah. According to your strength. You see, your strength can do so much. But then when God decides to intervene, then you say, you have conquered more lands. And when you compare with what you are able to achieve and what you did, they say that when you count the numbers, when you count the offerings, when you count the provisions, and no, more people have come in to join than we saw. There had been a certain intervention from somewhere that you cannot understand. Hallelujah. Like a woman had an accident and she died in the accident, but she had a little baby in a baby seat at the back of the car. But she had died. And the car was about to catch fire. So somebody who was also driving by saw a woman stop the person and said that, oh, please, there's an accident here and there's a baby in the car. Let's help and let's go and take this baby from the car. So they ran there. And then the man managed to take the baby out of the car. When he took the baby out of the car, then he decided to look for the woman. He couldn't find the woman again. He couldn't find the woman again. Only for him to see that the woman who came to stop him, the same woman, is the one behind the wheels who was dead. The woman was dead. But the same woman who was dead, you may call it her ghost, but I will call it divine intervention. The same woman who was dead, do you get it? Was the person who went to stand. You see, and let me tell you, these things still happen. God still does such unusual things. Don't rule them out. Don't rule them out of your life. That God could do such things in your life. That God can supernaturally do things that you, after you have done all you could, then you see some results. That I said, this one, you don't have anything to do with it. More people died from the stones than your effort. That's why your effort without God is nothing. Amen. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, listen, son, not S-O-N, S-U-N, as in Aria, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Look, God is bigger than what you think. He is bigger than what you say. He can do many, many, much, much more than you think. Joshua realized that this is the time to finish our enemies. But it was going dark. And if the night comes, they didn't have night vision equipment to be able to identify and kill their enemies. So Joshua appealed to God for an unusual intervention. An unusual intervention. And what was he say? Lord, let the sun. Do you get it? He said, seed time, harvest time, night and day, morning and evening, all those things shall not cease. But this time, this time, as long as the earth remaining, but this time, when he called God for an unusual intervention, God also unusually intervened. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, so the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven. That means that when it was 8 p.m., you get it? And I'm telling you that some skeptics will begin to explain this, that in summer, sometimes around 12 midnight, what they will not ask was at the time that this took place, was it summer or winter? That is what they will not answer. You get it? And even in the summer, there will be times that it will be very dark. So you don't know which of the times, whether summer or winter, which of the times he asked. But he said that the sun stood still. Hey, why do you think that God cannot do that unusual thing you are thinking about? Why do you think that this one is too wild? The sun stood still and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Because of God. See, God intervened supernaturally, unusually, so that your enemies will be finished. And may any intervention that God has to give to you, so that that problem or that enemy that is destroying your life or pursuing you will finish, may that be released in the name of Jesus. And we believe. He said, is this not written in the book of Jasher? These are some of the books of the, Jews. So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. A whole day. And there was no day like that before it and after it. That since that time, nobody had had that faith. Nobody had had that belief that God can do such unusual things. But may that thing begin to happen in our days and in our times, that people shall begin to speak of us in relation to some unusual, weird things that God can do. He said, no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord had hearkened unto the voice of a man. No day like that, that the Lord had hearkened unto the voice of a man, before or after. But I say, in our days and in our time, may you provoke God to hearken to your voice in such a way that you will be the one that they will say that before and after you, no one has ever asked God any such thing, and it has been done in Jesus' name. Because as time has gone on and on, people have become used to things and limited God in our understanding of God. And we have put him in a box of years, box of time, box of imaginations and all those things. Hallelujah. Unusual intervention. Then let's read another verse. Another passage of scripture. Only two. And we'll go home. I'm just telling you that he's bigger than what you think. He can do much, much more than what you think. This is a very popular passage of scripture. The background to this is that there was a lot of hunger, a lot of famine. Hunger is famine. There was a lot of problems, and there was no hope. You heard that people were boiling their children to eat. Do you get it? People were boiling their children to eat. Do you have any child here? Susan, can we look at your child? Look at Susan's child. Now, there was a time that people were so hungry. The economy was so bad. And they had eaten all they had to eat. And then they now entered into agreement, actually, whatever it is, we will die. But let's see, maybe we can prolong our death for a while. So, Susan, who else has a baby around? I've seen someone who's already hiding her baby. There's one there, okay, you, somebody's baby, you're afraid. Look, who has baby than Rich's baby? We can't see, bring the babies, please. Hey. It was so bad. They were so hungry. Look at these innocent babies. Then they made a pact that our senior boys have gone to look for food. They are mostly coming home with nothing. And then our husbands are going to come also. Let's do something. Today, Susan managed to convince Angela, because the baby was fair. And so he said, Angela, let's kill and boil your baby and eat. We may be able to eat her for about 2 weeks. And then when we finish eating her, we'll kill my baby and eat her. And Angela had no option. So Angela agreed. that why not? We are going to die anyway. So they killed, I don't know who killed her, but they killed her and removed her hair, put it on, just as you when you kill a goat, you take the hair from, remove the hair, and then cut off hair into pieces. Fingers, those who eat fingers, those who eat toes, pieces. And there was no fridge in those days. So they put salt, the salted hair. And when the other children came home, they had made light soup with part of her body. And they ate it. As I'm saying, I'm even scared. They ate her. And then they finished. When they finished, then Angela went to see Susan. That Susan, now that my baby is finished, can we kill your baby and eat? And then Susan said, no way. No way. I've changed my mind. You cannot kill my baby. I won't agree. I will not agree. So, as they were, the Angela started fighting with Susan. And they were exchanging words. And they were fighting. So the king was passing. And the king saw them. So what's happening? So that they narrated the story to the king. That you know how the economy has become. Now there are no jobs. There are no foreign direct inflows into the country. Nobody is giving us anything. And we are being cut off by our enemies. So she approached me and we ate her child for dinner. Two weeks of dinner. Oh, surprisingly, my husband didn't even ask me where the baby was. Anytime he came, so tired that he ate and he said, hey, Angie, where do you get this nice food from? Then Angela said, the Lord provided. It is the Lord. So they were eating. They didn't ask questions. It was when they heard them fighting, they were like, hey! It's our sister, our child that you have killed. So they all went to join Angel. They were all fighting. So Susan's family also came. And it's like family to family. So the king listened to them. And then Angela told the king, king, now help me. Because now dear, it's hard. And that's when the king said that, if God does not help you, what can man do? What can man do if God does not help you? So that was how bad the situation was. Recently in South Africa, a man went to a police station that he's tired. He's tired. He's very, very tired and he has come to confess his sins. So they asked him that, what is your sin? He said, I'm eating human beings and I'm tired. I'm tired. Not knowing that there is a community developing, the community in part of South Africa who are eating human beings. And then he has eaten. I said, now I think he has eaten too much. And the police were investigating. That was the last time I was there. The police was investigating. So that was how bad. Those of you who have been ordering food through internet and all those things, when you are eating, be careful what you are eating. By the time you realize you are eating somebody's husband who they cannot find for some time. Because one of the guys, they said that the wife was sick or so, and the wife was going to die. So the family came to see him that, look, your wife is going to die. And you know we eat human beings. So why don't we kill her now and eat her? And the man was so shocked. So he left them and I think he ran away. And he collected the wife and went to kill her and eat her. What a shock. Thank you very much. You can take your seat. So, it was in that, at that time, in that condition, that in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. God is about to do it again. He's about to do it again. He's about to do it again. You have been doing calculations, but he's not going by your, if we plant cassava, how long would it take to grow? If we plant maize, how long? We have to genetically modify the thing that it can take 2 weeks to grow, and we can feed the community of 200 and 2,000, and by the year 2020, we can eradicate this type of... No. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord. And today, I want to tell somebody here, hear ye the word of the Lord, and stop hearing other things. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time. You see, I say, God is bigger than what you think. He's bigger than what you say. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Are you serious? I saw people there say, look, be serious, prophet. Are you really, really on top of your head? Or something else has taken over your head? Like you are saying that tomorrow by this time, people shall go to a Shaiman market or go to Makola or Aboboloshi. And then they will go and find, I mean, there's nothing is there. Yam, everything is gone. And say, you go and buy 1 yam or 2 tubers of yam for half a pence, half a peswa. How? First of all, who is going to grow the yam? And how is it going to move from the north? Because we don't grow the yam here. So how is it going to come from the north to the south? Even assuming that they have discovered some yam in somebody's house with our bad roads, and they have decided to transport the yam with our type of cars and our roads, even calculate the time it will take to reach here. So you take all this and you are coming tomorrow about this time. 1 tube of yam shall be sold for half a peswa, and then there shall be goats to be sold, and then there shall be tomatoes to be sold. How? Then the Bible said, then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might these things be? And let me tell you, so what the man asked, you have not said it, but you have said it in so many ways in your life. You have said it in so many ways in your life. You have not really said it openly. Some of you haven't said it openly. But even now you are saying it in your mind. Even now. We are saying it in your mind that if what Bishop is saying, it passed this Adonizedek, this all this that he's saying, this old, I mean, this old son standing in the valley of this and that is, you have started already. You get it? So the Bible says, he said, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, even if God should make the road, if the government should construct a four-way motorway. From four-way here, going four-way, coming from the north to the south. Which plane or train is going to bring this thing here tomorrow about this time? Who is going to do that? So, and he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Hey. May you not be any of these guys who see things, hear things that God is doing, but are never part of it. May you never ever be part of it. Like as I became a pastor of this church, I've seen people who have been blessed speak of powerful testimonies, but some have never been part of it. And may you never be one of these people in the name of Jesus. And there were four lepers, four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit here till we die? See, some of you, I don't even know why you are holding your two CDs for. I don't know. You see, what you need is a house. Your 100,000 cannot build a house, and you are still holding the 100,000. That is what this person said. Why sit here till we die? If we say we will build the house with 100,000, it will not be built. If we say we are going to save this 100,000, it will never, nothing will happen. So why don't we do what we must do? Why don't we do what we must do? Do you get it? He said that if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And we shall die. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. If you go in, there's famine, we will die. If you go to the Syrians, they're the ones who want you to kill us. So we die. So let's try. Perhaps they will not kill us. And that's how faith is. So faith is all about choosing the other option and saying that, look, whatever it is, something must happen. So I am going for this one. Simple. That's all faith is. Who told them faith is the absence of risk? Faith is not the absence of risk. And you get there's a risk management and all these type of things. And then stop what you are saying. Hallelujah. With all the risk management, if you go here, it can do nothing. If you come here too, it can do nothing. So choose the option of faith. Where it what can. Choose it. And I tell you, what can will be good. Yeah. At the end of the day, what can and is good. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says, we will enter the city. We will go where it is. And they rose up in the twilight to go onto the camp of the Syrians. Don't forget what we are talking about. Too. Unusual interventions. To go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Look, the devil has been giving you empty threats all these years. Empty threats. All these years, he has given you some empty signs in your body, and for all these years, you have believed it that the Syrians are there. The Syrians are there in the form of cancer, in the form of this. All this world, we have believed it. Meanwhile, when you go, you see that there is nothing there. There is nothing there. Hallelujah. Amen. Not when you go. When you go by faith, you find that there is nothing there. He said that they went there that they were going to meet. But all along they have been told, you get it, that the Syrians have surrounded us. And they are ready, prepared to kill us. So they went. But there was no one in the city. What a shock. Some of you, I said this to your surprise there, that the problem that was there some time ago that you have been thinking about and has limited you, it is no more there, but you have still thought that it is there. That's why you cannot have faith to move. Amen. Listen to what had happened. Some unusual intervention had taken place. Something very unusual, supernatural, spiritual. And I want to announce to you that that supernatural being is still there, still doing such things in the affairs of man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't rule it out. And don't root yourself out of it. Listen to what has happened. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. And a noise of horses. Even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel, who is himself locked up somewhere and cannot go anywhere, they are now saying that the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. You see, sometimes some of us, we think about some things. I don't know where we get ideas from. Do you get it? I don't know where how we sit down and we think about so many even problems that don't exist. We put it on ourselves that the Lord, if I don't do this, I'll do that. If I don't do that, you the person is lost. So you say that the king of the Hittites, he has gone to hide people. My husband has gone to do this. Hey, my wife has gone to do this. The people are ganging up against me. The people, that is what causes schizophrenia. Then you become mad. You're always thinking, the people have done this. The pastor has done this. This person has said that. This person has said that. And because of what they thought. Because of what they thought, that the king who is hold somewhere, hold up, a coward with his people, held somewhere, you know, it is the Lord. Ah! He says that, and the kings of the Jesus to come upon us. Wherefore, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. I've always wondered when God says that the blessing of the heathen shall be an inheritance. I've always wondered how these things come. And I'm seeing that, look, there is a way God can divinely intervene. Do you get it? Divinely intervene on things that you'll be surprised. Somebody was telling me that my mother or somebody left out a lot of properties, and then my other uncles and this seized it from my mother and ate it all. But now they are all dead. And then suddenly the papers have come into my hands. I said, wow. Go seek advice how to eat the rest. Do you get it? Look, I've always wondered how. When God said the blessing of the heathen will come to us. Because the heathen, I can see them that they are storing up a lot of treasure. But God is what they are storing up. Actually, they are storing up for us. But as to how we get it is the problem. We cannot arm rob them. We cannot steal from them. But it's still supposed to come to us. So how? Divine intervention. And I have not said anything. I'm just saying that divine intervention. Hallelujah. The Lord caused the footsteps of lepers. Because you see, many of you, one of the reasons why you are as you are, and things are as it is today, is you are still thinking of the people who should accomplish and bring that task to you. And the real people who can do it, you have overlooked them. You do know that all that God needs is a vessel. Whether the vessel is a broken vessel, is half, is twisted, is whatever, he just needs a vessel. Hallelujah. That's why you are passed by some vessels whom God was going to use to supply your needs. And you pass by your supplies. Hallelujah. Footprints of lepers sounded like bazookas. Sounded like bombs. F-16 bombers. Pew! 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 Look, if I've ever been to a place that they are fighting, it won't be easy. Well, recently, even people were shooting guns, pew, 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 around our area. Yes, I remember I went to visit a brother in Nigeria, Pastor Jake in Nigeria, and I think two houses from his house, there was a gun battle between the police and armed robbers. You fire, and hey, Charlie, that day, I was there like that. I said, yay. What is good? Because from this house, are they coming here? I was shaking. And the sound of it, and they could know which kind of gun they are shooting. They can say, this AK-47, this is this type of G3, this is that. And the thieves had sophisticated. The police were saying that the guns the thieves were using had more firepower than the guns the police was using. And I said, look, don't ever wish to be in a war zone. Never. Pray that it never happens to anybody. Yeah. So the Lord made the people to hear. Pow! Come on. All of you surrender. Set me while lepers will go in. Pew. Pew. Hey. What an intervention is this? I think God is bigger than what you think. And don't limit him by your small mind. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, wherefore they arose and fled. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, it means that they passed through the camp to the uttermost part. God, nobody was there, so they were surprised. Ah, is it like redraw an attack? No, sometimes like tsunami. The water goes in like this and comes. So is it like redraw an attack? So they were surprised. So they were still moving to the uttermost. But then when they were going, I think they would take some drink along the way. And all those things. And the Bible says that they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. Wise guys, man. You see, they were lepers and they were not allowed to go to people, and the law in the land will not allow. So Charlie, let's hide this one first. So let's secure our first. And went ahead and came again and entered to another tent and carried theirs also. Hey. And went again and hid it. Then you realize that the thing is not a dream. It's not a vision. It's happening live and colored. May it happen in a way that you think it's a vision or a dream, but you suddenly find out that it's actually a reality. It's actually happening live. That actually you are the one opening that house to enter to live in. That actually you are the one signing that millions of dollar check. Actually, hitherto you were dreaming. But now it's not a dream. Now it's in reality. They are looking at a check. And it's a pound check or a dollar check. And you are signing thousands of it to purchase outright. And then it's not a dream. It's not a dream. It's not like, you know, sometimes you can... One of the best things to do, which is very good, is to sit and daydream. Look at it. You see yourself in this, and your wife is here, you're also here, and you are sipping coconut and the and that thing, what do you call it? The straw is as long as whatever. So if the straw can come here, you sip it, you sleep, and when you are, when the tanker, the straw will come and boom, the distance. Oh man, it's so nice. Then you wake up and it's a dream.
But you will wake up and you see that it is not a dream. It is a reality that you have actually handed the check and you are collecting back the property. In the name of Jesus.
You are saying that if the Lord should open even the, come and print the money in my house, shall these things be? If even Gadamise is the one in beneath my house, you are saying that shall these things be. But please, God is bigger than what you are thinking. Amen. Then they said to one another, now dear, we do not well. We have eaten, we have taken some, we have hidden it, we have taken gold, we have taken silver, we have gone to hide some of the meat, the goats, and then we have done all this. Now dear, that's what Bible said, that look, it's more than you can carry. Now dear, you can't even hide, you can't even do anything about it. You know, there's sometimes blessings can, you can't hide it, you can't do anything about it. And then, even if you see the blessings, like how Saul went to take the goat and he couldn't hide them, and the goat started bleating. One day some policemen were on duty, and then they saw this taxi, and the taxi people were sitting in the taxi. He said, which people? Saw there are people, they have put cloth on the people, on the goats, and they said they were people. But just when they were going, one of the goats said, meh. They say, stop! Not that they are going to steal goats, people's goats. This one, it was a stolen goat that they couldn't hide. But yours will be blessings that you cannot hide. Blessings that cannot be hidden. Hey! He said, now, dear, Abba, this day is a good day of good tidings. And may that day come in your life in Jesus' name. And may it be today in Jesus' name. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come. You see, they are about to fulfill the prophecy. He said, tomorrow by this time. So it was not them. You see, the people are deciding for you. The people are deciding about you. They are not, they don't have any power about you or to judge about you. It is the fulfillment of the prophecy that is causing those decisions to be taken. And I tell some of you, people are meeting and they can't sleep till they have that meeting. Not because they like you, not because of anything they can do, but to fulfill the prophecy of God. That it shall come to pass that you too shall be there some. It is to fulfill prophecy. Not that they like you, but they cannot sleep. That's why the king couldn't sleep when they said they were going to kill Mordecai and they were going to exterminate the Jews. It wasn't that he took even sleeping tablet. He didn't sleep. He did everything. He didn't sleep. He slept in his jacuzzi. He didn't sleep that night. All because God was about to intervene in something. And I tell you, somebody is not going to sleep because of you. Amen. Until it is done, somebody is never going to have his peace because of you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a good day. We hold our peace. If we tarry the morning light, some mischief will come on us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. So what are they doing? Is it not God's prophecy they are fulfilling? The person to fulfill your prophecy has started moving. You are the one who have not seen. Till this time the king of Israel and his people were still there doubting the prophecies. And the Bible says, verse 10, so they came and called unto the porter of the city. And they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there. The voice you have heard that you have hidden, The devil is like a roaring lion. He's not. Is he? When say something is like, isn't the person? It's not the person. It's a simile. It's a simile. It's not like it is something that is happening. He's like. He has made you. And I tell you, the roars of a lion can put fear in you. When they say roar, fear will catch you. Meanwhile, not knowing there's some toy that they were rolling somewhere. Hey! So they told them there was no man, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and the tent as they were. For all this time, your horses and the goods are tied somewhere that you are just supposed to take a step of faith to sow that seed, to make that confession, to take that step, and you are still there and they are tired waiting for you. But fear has filled you. Fear, you see, fear of losing the thing to you, lose it anyway. And you have even lost it. Hey! And the king arose in the night and said unto his servant, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. The king told the servant, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. You see how always you get some people to come and tell them, look, what this pastor is saying, I can see the trick in it. How many of you have met, if not you, you've seen somebody like that before? Yeah. We have seen the trick. We have seen the trick in all these things. They want us to do it. Then when we give, then they will buy new cars. When we give, then they will build new houses. When we build, then they will do it. No! They want us. I know them. So the king said, can, let me tell you. It's a trap. And make these people, they know how to talk. They know how to preach. They are actually rappers. They are slides. Hey! They can talk to you where you can't even think far. So let me tell you, it's a trick. It's a trap. This service that they are going to have, they say fundraising. I know. You, by the time you finish, you have given all your salary, all your offering, in 2 years will come, and you are still the same. I know them. And you, that's why I have to tell you, you have listened to that voice, and you have never sold a certain kind of money before as a step of faith, because you have listened to this type of noises. You have listened to this thing again. He said, they know we are hungry. And they are taking advantage of us. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Which means that all the king's houses, cars, like Akufo-Addo, when he's traveling, now the presidential, this thing, for whole, all the government machinery is 5. 5 horses that are left in the city. Behold, there are also all multitude of Israel that are left in. I say, they are even us all, whatever. And let us send and see. He said, look, what you are saying? At all, we have only just 5 of the horses left. We have eaten all the horses. We have 5 left. So it doesn't matter. And these men who are here, they are going to die anyway. So just as the lepers went and came, let us just let them go and see. Do you get it? Let them go and see whether it is true. You see? So they took therefore 2 chariot horses. And the king sent after them the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. Is that something was chasing them. Something was chasing them.
I said, somebody is going to give you a lot of calls. Someone's going to give you a call. It's like, Charlie, this thing that no man has proposed to you. Now, every time this guy is pestering me, just to, for me to say, I will. Hey, all the way. Because they left in haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tent of the Syrians. So listen, a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, according to the word of God. He said, tomorrow by this time. Somebody said, what you are saying? Even if this one, he went beyond Manu. Even if God were to open, might it be? It doesn't make sense. And I tell you, when did God ever start making sense? I mean, look, read the Bible and see. Tell me when he started making sense. I mean, sense as a human sense. Yes, I mean, how can you go and say people that I'm taking you out of your from your enemies? Then when you took them from their enemy, there was a motorway, highway. And he said, go and pass through a way. You knew they were going to meet a sea. It doesn't make sense. And they don't have ships. They don't have parachutes. He said, do you need parachutes to cross? They don't have life jackets. They have life jackets. They didn't have any swim. Even they could swim, they couldn't have swam. And then, it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you, look, please, honestly, I don't remember the last time God made sense. You get it? According to our human sense, I don't remember the last time. That's when God is up to something, don't fight it too much. Sometimes when some things are happening, they are out of your control. You control it humanly to a certain and you're out of your control. Don't fight it. Flow with God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you have done all that you should do as a man, and then the Bible says, according to the word of the Lord, a measure of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. You see, the man who said this and said, you will see it, but you will not eat it. It's all in fulfillment of prophecy. But may you never be appointed to fulfill a wrong prophecy. In the name of Jesus. And the people, you see, as he was going to guard against it, they go in an orderly manner. But the people were so hungry that there wasn't going to be any order. So they pushed open the gate. And behold, he was the one that they just walked over him and he died. And it came to pass as the man of God has spoken to the king. And it shall come to pass as I speak to you. Saying, two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that the Lord answered the man of God and said, now, behold, if the Lord shall make windows of him, and he said, behold, thou shalt see it, and whatever, and whatever. And that man, people threw over him, and the man died. Hallelujah. Amen. What a great supernatural intervention. And I'm here to tell you that God is still doing it. He has not changed. The things about tomorrow that has been said, that you are expecting to see, what rather you should believe God for is the divine vehicle he will use for that intervention. You get it? You should trust God so that now when you are walking, anything, say, hey, will it be this? Will it be this one? But you know that it will be tomorrow. You know that it will happen. You know that it shall come to pass. But as to the method, some of them, God could have done the same thing. He could have taken those angels again who were expert catapulters. And said, go and catapult and throw stones as you did before on the people. He could have done them. I didn't do it. He said, this time, let us use leper's steps as gunshots and as an army. Hallelujah. So,
God's formula can never be your formula. But his results are always the same. His results are that his word for your life will come to pass. But for his formula, it is left to him and up to him to do it. And I see the Lord. Lord, let a time related miracle be released in this place. You said by this time. Let an unusual timing, when people don't expect, unexpected timings of miracles or breakthroughs be released for your people because of supernatural interventions. What should take 5 years? What should take naturally the time it should take? Let your intervention make it become useless. And let supernatural timing bring into us and into our lives our breakthroughs and our blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, wherever they are tied, wherever the silver and the gold are waiting, the prepared meals are waiting, wherever they are, Lord, make us meet it. Amen. And make us take part of it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I thank you. There are so many people here who believe have already started receiving unusual visitations, meeting unusual people who are doing unusual things in their lives. And by the time they realize, it was not a dream, but it was a reality. I thank you for tonight, for all these believers gathered here. I thank you for all these believers gathered here who have come to look up to you, to bless them and to meet them. All those with unusual problems, unsolvable according to man problems, Lord, let there be a divine intervention, a supernatural one. Some of you, you know, sometimes people are walking amongst you and they are not people. They are actually angels who have been asked to come and help you. And I see a lot of them around this time. I see a lot of them. They have just come to ensure some unusual supernatural interventions for you to take that thing that God has for you, and in fulfillment of the word of God for your life. Angels, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you for your ways of intervening in our things, medically, financially, socially. Lord, in any way, thank you for that supernatural intervention in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Say, Lord, I believe. I receive. You are bigger than what I think. You are bigger than what I say. And today, I cease to belittle you with the way I think and with the things I say. I align myself into your mighty hand to lead me in fulfillment of your word for my life. Thank you, Lord, for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you celebrate your victory and put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah! 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 He is bigger.
bigger than what people say. Bigger than what people say. You are bigger than what people say. You are God. You are bigger than what people say. You are God. You are God. Bigger than what people say. Oh, you are bigger than what people say.
And the people include you yourself.
Bigger than what people say. Bigger than what people say. Bigger than what people say. Jehovah, you are good. You are kind.
You are kind.
You are bigger. You are bigger than what people say. You are good. Oh, you are good. You are kind. You are kind.
Whose footsteps were changed to an army?
Bigger than what people say.
Somebody somewhere. He's never going to have his peace because of you.
You are kind, bigger than what people say. You are bigger than what people say.
Okay.
Bigger than what people say.
It's bigger.
Bigger than what people say. Bigger than what
people say. Now tell somebody, say, he is bigger than what people say.
He's bigger than what people say.
Tell somebody that he is bigger.
Jehovah, bigger than what people say.
He's bigger than what people think.
You are bigger than what people think.
He is.
Bigger than what people think.
He's bigger than what you have said.
Bigger than what you have said. Jehovah, bigger than what you have said. Jehovah, you are good. He is kind. He is bigger than what you have said. Jehovah, he is good. He is kind. He is bigger than what you have said.
Prophesy for the last time to the person. Let it enter.
Bigger than what you have said.
Hey, he is.
Bigger than what you have said.
You have said so many things.
Bigger than what you have said. Jehovah is bigger than what you have said. Jehovah, he is good. He is kind. He is bigger than what you have said.
Charlie, you are going to see some big things. You are going to see some big things in your life. You are going to walk in some places in your life. You are going to stay in some places in your life. You are going to use some things in your life. And you will only say that, Jehovah, I never, ever, ever thought of this. And you are bigger. Even what you are thinking now, we will see that he is far, far, far even bigger than what we thought we knew. In the name of Jesus, let it come to pass in everyone's life here. In the name of Jesus. Yeah.